you have to be more aggressive. Those 10,000 hours that they talk about that you need, you can get them over the course of 10 years, or you can get them over the course of a year. How much time you want to put in? You want to play bigger, faster? It means you have to hustle more, and then you have to engage more, and you have to do everything that you would do over the course of 8 to 10 years as quick as you want your results.
Microphone check, 1, 2, what is this?
You're now listening to a brand new episode of the Play Big Faster podcast.
Look what you done started.
Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of the Play Big Faster podcast. We are joined in this episode by business consultant and author Jack Brickhouse. Welcome, Jack.
Hey, Sherry. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Look, we are so glad that you just took a few minutes to hang out with us. Tell us a little bit about what you do as a business consultant and some of your other activities as it relates to, I believe you are also the chairman of a nonprofit.
Absolutely. Yes. So I'm Jack Brickhouse, originally from the Midwest, Chicagoland area. I now reside in between Phoenix, Arizona and Las Vegas. I'm back and forth between the two. As Sherry mentioned, I am a business consultant, which has provided a very unique journey for me as I've worked in a variety of fields, a ministry, a lot of work in nonprofit, done some work internationally. I got to do some work with the White House, with the Super Bowl, all of these great opportunities. Definitely, I love to share more, but I've been in business in different capacities for about 20 years now. I started my first business when I was 19, and I've been in a variety of businesses since then. Currently, yes, I founded Brickhouse Cares. What was that, back in 2016, 2017? And our focus is education. And we take a unique approach. Of course, we're definitely in the community, giving our time doing those things. But to generate revenue, to help the nonprofit generate revenue, provide consulting services to other corporate executives, just career-minded individuals. I do a lot of small business work, and I help individuals to bring their dreams to fruition.
So, Jack, I'm going to have to just start with the big question.
Yeah.
How did you work with the Super Bowl and the White House?
Yeah, just some good networking, right? White House, I had a client that was heavy into politics. And so their activities throughout the summer, which was their peak season, would bring in a variety of individuals from, and so I'll rewind. The majority of the events were in Washington, D.C. That this organization had. I have confidentiality, so I don't want to go too far in. But there were a lot of public representatives, senators, Supreme Court judges, all of these different people that came through. So for one event, there was supposed to be a guest speaker, and it was a lot of high power people. But for this specific one, I'm sitting down with my client for dinner. He's, hey, I found out who the guest speaker is going to be for the event. And I'm like, all right, who is it? He's like, it's the vice president. I'm like, oh, the vice president of the company? I'm like, oh, no, that's, yeah, I love to say the guy's name. He said, no, vice president of the United States. I said, oh. All right, and so that was the opportunity. But when you work with, that was my second, third time working with the White House. When you work with the White House, it's great for the credential. It's great to talk about it with Sherry. But when you go through it, it's a nightmare because the Secret Service you have to deal with is all of these parameters. There was a point to after 6 a.m., you couldn't use the restroom. You couldn't even go directly on the floor where the vice president was going to speak. Once the vice president is not on your floor or in the room, it's in the building. You can't leave out of the room until the event is over and Secret Service clears you. And so they have all of these accommodations that they bring to the table. This specific event, I was doing some consulting in the audiovisual world. When the Secret Service came in and said, hey, we love this setup. This is great, but you guys got to move all this 10 feet because we got to bring in all our Secret Service stuff and all the White House communication stuff. So that was cool. For Super Bowl, I was working with the client. We had a couple of huge accounts. When Super Bowl came to Phoenix in 2015, there's so many events that is opportunities are just spread around. And so with this company I was consulting with at the time, we had a variety of events. We had the NFL owners meeting, which was with all the owners when they got together to have dinner. We did another private party for the Seahawks in Sedona, Arizona. And then there was one more event that we got to do at the art museum here. So I didn't do anything specifically with the big game, but all around that was the opportunity that I had to work with the Super Bowl. So that was very unique.
Now, and you know, just when I was looking at your bio, you've done so many things.
Yeah.
How did you begin working with tribal government?
Tribal government. So I was doing some business consulting. One day I ran into an old acquaintance. He said, hey, I'm going to drop by the office. I said, all right, cool. Come by the office. So he said, can I bring my nephew? Cool. Bring your nephew. And so we brought his nephew. We were having a conversation. He said, this is what we're looking to do. And his nephew was looking to begin a new division of the Choctaw Indians out here on the West Coast. So, for me as a business coach or business consultant, never done anything like this ever, right? And so one of the key characteristics of business coaching, which is being flexible, being able to troubleshoot, being able to take on new challenges, traverse new territory that you may have never been in. And so what that turned into was a deep conversation for, I didn't even know that you can do that. How Tribe started is just something that the average individual is just not knowledge that comes to us. And so once we took on this contract, I began to learn a lot. I had to first educate myself a lot more in-depthly on our United States law and constitution and how that works in order to be able to understand how tribal law works within our government system. And so that was my introduction there. From that experience, I was able to trace my lineage back not only to a tribe here in the United States, but also to Sierra Leone in Africa. And so I have dual citizenship in Sierra Leone now, all thanks to all of the tips and things that I learned from working with this tribal government.
Yeah. We don't have all the fancy animation on the podcast, wow, over here. Wow. That's a lot.
And so people get discombobulated when I tell them all of these things.
That's a lot. Now, in the midst of all that, you also podcast. Is that correct?
Yes. I've had, if you search Mr. Jack Brickhouse, I've had a variety of podcasts since 2015 with just different co-hosts. The most recent was I was consulting with a ministry in order to help them gain reach both domestically and internationally. I introduced them to podcasting. So I actually came on and co-hosted with them for about 140, 150 shows to show them how to do it. Prior to that, I had a podcast, Cigarettes and Bad Decisions. Oh, the name of the first podcast was, slipping my mind right now. Second podcast, Cigarettes and Bad Decisions, Truth About Lies. If you search Mr. Jack Brickhouse, I've been podcasting for a while. When I first started and you told people you had a podcast, nobody understood what you were talking about. Another Side of Faith was the first podcast at the ministry. That was the name of that one. But when we first started podcasting, no one understood. You used to try to tell your friends to listen. They're like, what are you talking about? What is this? What is the point of this? But just to see how it's grown over the past 8 to 10 years has been very interesting to watch.
So you strike me, as a young guy. I'm not going to tell you how old I am.
Yeah.
So what, if someone was interested in just doing some of the things that you're doing, what advice do you have for students and other entrepreneurs on how to get in the rooms and circles to start doing some of these things?
Yeah, so I will give my age. I am 40. So I have been around doing this for a while. The number one thing that you can do is network. You can solve a lot of problems just by networking. When I came from the Midwest to the West Coast, I had to network. I didn't have any connections. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody in any industries. And so you have to just utilize the framework that's there for you. There's no need to come out and build a new frame and try to do it all yourself. Granted, you can create events, but it's much easier in the beginning just to go search out on the internet. There's all kind of different ways to search networking groups, networking opportunities in your city, and just go out, right? You're not always going to have a partner to go out with. Sometimes it's just you. So you just have to go out. You can go out to industry specific events. So for instance, if I have someone that's interested in fashion, anything going on fashion-wise, whether it be directly related with runway, if it's just a meeting of brainstorming ideas, you need to be in there, in those groups, so that you can get down and really meet the key players. Because in every industry, there's only a handful of players at the center that are really consistent and really moving the market. And so you start off on the outside of that circle. And the way I always look at it is I'm working my way into the center to meet the real stakeholders and the real key players in the industry.
The way you describe it, it sounds like physical networking, but now we have the internet and you have people that are on Zoom. Do you have any recommendations on the best way to do that online?
Yeah. And so it's a two-part, right? It is social media and LinkedIn and connecting with people. That's great. But you have to reinforce that with some type of personal interaction. And so, yeah, definitely. There's all kinds of groups you can jump into. And it's very easy. Like you said, if it's professionally, LinkedIn is definitely the place to be. You can get hooked with a variety of professionals. So again, connect with an individual on LinkedIn, on Insta, whatever your platform of choice. And if you're, serious on working with them, get their personal contact information and then move that conversation from social media to personal email or conversation. Or if you can meet up, that's even better, because that's when the real relationship starts. But as you said, having the internet at your disposal, it makes it that much that you can even start there. Like you said, if you're scared to go out, start with a Zoom meeting and just jump in and, again, just to speak to people.
One of the many titles we gave you at the beginning of the podcast was author. Tell us about your books.
Yeah. First book, Cigarettes and Bad Decisions, The Shit I Wish I Known. It is a self-improvement book that I co-wrote with my partner, Hilo Tip, and Coffee Black. He was a comedian out of Chicago. Shout out to Genoa White on that. That was our editor. So without Genoa, she was our mentor. She had written a book previously, so she mentored us through that process. So Cigarettes and Bad Decisions. It's just a self-help book, 15 chapters, where we all just brought all of the one-off conversations we would have with our individual friends and family. We just took some of those topics and all collectively combined them. And so for each chapter, you get three different perspectives on the chapter. So for instance, the very first chapter is Crabs in a Barrel, all right? And it's the education of especially in entrepreneurship or even in a career, when you go to try to do something new, the people that you think are going to support you usually aren't the ones that support you. They try to tell you different things that'll bring you down. For instance, I just had somebody who was trying to move to a different city. And when they tell their friends, all they tell them is a negative. Hey, they have earthquakes there. Hey, they have hurricanes. Hey, all right, it gets hot, whatever it may be. And so these things happen. And so these are individuals with a crab mentality. They're trying to pull you back down because they see you progressing. So that's how we open the book. And so you will get three perspectives on that.
Oh, that's so good. What about follow-up books?
Yeah. After that, I went solo because I didn't want to get boxed in as just a self-development, self-help writer. And so I went all the way 180 degrees and I wrote a fiction book. It's called Blind Drift, something like a screenplay. And so it's a merger between just a novel, but I wrote it loosely in screenplay form because I'm not a big fiction reader, but I wanted to make it easy for individuals that were like me. And so I broke it down in script form where you can see names, there's like narration action that moves the flow along, so it's just not boring. In Blind Drift, there's four different stories. Each story kind of connects to the next story. The term blind drift, I actually found, it's a mining term. And it's when there's like an underground mine and before a tunnel is connected to another series or group of tunnel series, that lone tunnel at that point is called a blind drift because it hasn't been connected to the service, all the rest of the service tunnels. And so I use that for the book because until you get through all four chapters, you're blindly drifting throughout the book from chapter to chapter. And so it starts with a sports story. But instead of looking at the star player, usually centered around a star football player, basketball player, I took it from the perspective of the official or the referee of the game. And so now it's a completely different perspective as he's interacting with these people. But now you get to see his life. He still has to come home or she still has to come home and they have family. They have to get married. They have to fly. They have to be away. They may not have a $100 million contract, but they're on TV just as much as the other athletes are. So I took it from that standpoint. And from there, you get to meet this individual's friends and their circle. And then that goes from story to story. Like I said, there's four different stories in Blind Drift.
Gosh, you've been busy.
Very busy.
So what upcoming events or projects do you have in the future?
Absolutely. So I also do music. You can, again, Mr. Jack Brickhouse on all streaming platforms. So Blind Drift, the book had a soundtrack, right? I created a soundtrack to go with that. And so it's all instrumental so that it's something that you can play while you're reading, while you're relaxing, while you're meditating. So that is at 30 million streams since that was released in 2021. Back in May, I released Euphoria Mango, which is, again, another easy listening album. 12-3, just as I took a 180 degree turn in writing, I'm releasing Faith of a Mustard Seed, which is going to be a spiritual relaxation album is what I'm calling it. All right. And instead of, if you've ever listened to a relaxation, they tell you relax, think, clear all of your thoughts, right? All of these things. So instead of me telling you that, I'm going to be giving you game about different spirituality, Buddhism, with Islam, with Christianity, and just giving tips on how to use those things in your life and to simplify your life. So that's coming 12-3, all platforms.
And see, here, I was going to ask you to sing for us, drop some bars.
No, not a singer. No, it's spoken word. It's all spoken word.
Yeah. So anybody who's listening, if you're on the podcast and you can sing, I'm going to ask you to drop some bars. Okay. So if you had one piece of advice for an entrepreneur or student on how to play big faster in life, what would it be?
Focus on your goal, right? And the journey that you will traverse will wind, it will be a roller coaster, it'll be a hurricane will blow through, you'll have an earthquake under your feet at some time. All of these things will happen as you walk this journey, but you have to stay focused and understand. And that's where the faith part comes in, because there's some lonely times you will have as an entrepreneur. This is where it's important to have other entrepreneurs that you can lean on or other people in the circle who can relate to you and stay focused. A lot of people want, like you said, you want to play faster. Well, you have to be more aggressive. So those 10,000 hours that they talk about that you need, you can get them over the course of 10 years or you can get them over the course of a year. How much time you want to put in? You want to play bigger, faster? It means you have to hustle more and then you have to engage more and you have to do everything that you would do over the course of 8 to 10 years as quick as you want your results. And so if you stay focused, and you work towards your goal, there are a lot of miscellaneous factors that open themselves up as you start to traverse your path. And it's things that you can't plan for. So just plan for what you can plan for. Start, I always say, create some type of plan, written plan, in whatever form, on your tablet, on paper, whatever. And just keep it small, 5 to 7 items that you can, that you need to accomplish to get to your goal. And then stick them on your refrigerator, right? So every day, you go into the refrigerator 7 times a day, all right, or more. So you're going to see that every time you go. And so every time you make an accomplishment, you get to walk to their refrigerator, what, and cross it off as progress. And so now you're seeing this progress day by day. And then as if you have 8 tasks, once you get to 3, then you can say, all right, now I can add more. But you always have to have a focus and know where you're going. Not just in your head, you need to see it and understand what it takes to get there. So again, if you want to play bigger, faster, you have to organize and stay focused.
Awesome. Yeah. What is the best way for people to reach you?
Social media, just reach out to me. You can search Mr. Jack Brickhouse on most major platforms. With Twitter is at Got My Shades. I'm not on, but LinkedIn, Twitter, or X now, and Instagram. You can find me there. If you just search me, you'll find my email. Most of the clients I take on are all just kind of word of mouth. So if you reach out to, if you really want to get to me, now Sherry has my contact information. So feel free to reach out to her if you feel you really need to get to me, but I would love to assist and help and provide advice to anybody that feels that I may have some good lessons to provide to them.
And I'll make sure that I put all those links in the show notes as well. And yeah. I do have your link tree, so we'll put the link tree in there as well.
That's it. Yeah, link tree has all those. So if they click the link tree, they can get to everything else.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us on this episode.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, Sherry. It's a great time.
And until later, everyone, play big faster.
Thanks for listening to this episode. And remember to play big faster.